Here we go. It's Friday. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. Very much so. All right. So my next guest, you know, I don't know how we met this guy. I think we talked about a gun story once because he's an attorney. He's a gun rights advocate. And we just got to be friends. We've never actually met in person, which is weird, but it's no fooling. Look, everybody, it's Steve Doolin. Doolin, how are you?
Great. How you doing, Gruber?
One of these days, I'm going to let you buy me beer. You know, because that's I'm an upstanding guy like that. I'm willing to let you buy me beer so that we can talk.
How kind of you. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm a giving individual. What can I tell you?
Yeah. I've heard that about you from you.
Yeah, from me. I'm a great guy. Just ask me. I'll tell you all about it. Okay, so I want to talk lawsuits with you here. Because it seems to me the president, and one of the headlines here, it seems a D.C. judge, a federal judge, said Wednesday of this week he's leaning toward issuing an order which would prevent New York from giving Donald Trump's tax returns to House Democrats. That's one thing. The emoluments lawsuit against the president got thrown out earlier this week. The lawsuit filed by the DNC against Donald Trump and WikiLeaks thrown out because the judge said there is no evidence whatsoever of any wrongdoing by the president. So there's this whole flurry of frivolous lawsuits, I would call them, that have been thrown out one after another after another. Pretty good week for the president, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say, and you're right. I mean, you know, the definition of frivolous is without basis in fact, and there could be sanctions brought against attorneys and parties who bring frivolous lawsuits. They can end up paying out of their own pockets.
Well, that should happen. I mean, the loser pay system is in force in every Western country in the world, except one, this one, unfortunately. I think loser pay system would take away a lot of the frivolous lawsuits, because if you bring a lawsuit and you know it's garbage and you lose, you're going to pay the bill. In America, the chance of you paying the bill for the other guy is pretty small. As you know, everybody asks for attorney's fees. They never get them. I mean, rarely.
Well, unless there's a statute that allows for it. There are specific statutes like Section 1983 in the federal code that allows for attorney's fees for civil rights violations by state actors, that kind of thing. Or if there's a contract that says loser pays, so we could make a contract between us. There's a theory that our system is actually tilted toward the little guy, because what happens in those European countries where they do loser pays on every single case is I sue giant corporation. Giant corporation puts a dozen $500 an hour attorneys on.
I see.
And now I'm scared of proceeding because if I lose, I have to pay all those guys.
Right. And I see that. The problem that I see, conversely, though, is as a business owner, I think every business owner in America is a target any given day. Because, you know, people, there's the deep pockets. I dumped hot coffee on my own crotch. I'm going to sue McDonald's. You know, and that sort of nonsense. Maybe there's a balance somewhere in the middle. I see your point. You made a good point. That's why you're an attorney, and I'm a guy on the radio.
Thanks, man.
There you go.
And when you have a minute, let me tell you about that McDonald's suit. Maybe not today, but when you have a minute, that there's more to that story also.
All right, fair enough. I want to move on to something else here, though. The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, wacko leftist, has now signed into law, I believe it was signed, a law that means if you don't show your tax returns, you will not be allowed in the primary in the state of California. I don't see how that's legal, because an election for president, and of course this is targeting Donald Trump, who has refused to show his tax returns. If you're running for president, that's a federal office, right? And I don't know that the state can block the primary ballot appearance of the president because he doesn't give you his tax returns. It seems a stretch, but of course you've got state rights and you've got these other issues. Your thoughts?
Well, you know who agreed with you is the is the former governor, Governor Moonbeam, Jerry Brown, crazy leftist, agreed with your interpretation when he vetoed a similar law about 10, 12 years ago. The theory is that a state cannot add to the requirements for a federal office. They can't make things up out of whole cloth like this. And in fact, in the veto statement that Jerry Brown signed, he talked about the fact that this opens floodgates of other requirements. Where do we stop? Do we have to ask for full medical records? Do we need the third grade report card? And this is going to depend on who's in power, whether we think it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Dude, I don't want to talk about my third grade report card. I just want to get that right out right now. You know, we had some incidents in third grade that I think could prohibit me from running for public office.
Me too.
Listen to you. You're serious.
So, and so many of us. But the other issue there is, was Trump going to win California anyway? I mean, I think Trump won last time around with none of their electoral college votes. So
of course
it's kind
not.
Of a shrug on that level.
But you look at a state like Michigan, where you could, you know, after the next election, conceivably have a Democrat-controlled state house and governor's mansion for one cycle, potentially, right? And they could push something through like that in Michigan or in Wisconsin or Pennsylvania, where Trump did win. You see, so you're putting your thumb on the scale, but I like your theory of a state cannot add requirements to a federal statute. It's not the state that's going to change the statute. It's a federal statute on how the elections are run. And it's beyond, I'm going to use the word of the week, beyond the purview of the state to do that.
Well played, sir. Yes, it is. I agree with you and Governor Moonbeam, oddly.
Would you stop comparing me to him? I mean, that's a, I appreciate you're having fun with it, but come on. Be nice to me.
Sorry, that's just beyond the pale.
Yeah, I know. I understand. So anyhow, so the president keeps winning in these lawsuits anyway. I believe that he will prevail on the California deal because they'll push back on that, and we'll see what happens. Doolin, I want you to have a great weekend with your lovely family.
Thanks, Steve. You too.
There you go. All right, Steve Doolin's out the door. He's going to go work on his tan. He's going to get all oiled up and go lay in the sun. That's a frightening picture. You're right. At any rate, it's 52 after. It's Friday, the 2nd of August. Heading for the top of the hour. We'll check in, get a little sports from Brock here. And then on hour number 3, don't go anywhere.
Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Bob Thomas, Chief Operating Officer for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. All across the state, businesses have joined the Michigan Chamber to be a part of the most influential business voice in Lansing. As a member, companies become part of a statewide network of small business, medium-sized companies, and industry leaders focused on improving pro-business legislation within state government. For the past 60 years, the Michigan Chamber has delivered powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. As a member-driven organization, we keep our members at the center of all that we do. Together, we can make a difference, and together, we ensure Michigan is the best place to create jobs and support free enterprise.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.